time again when you're going to listen to the Wine Biz Boys here on KSVY 91.3 on your FM dial. And this is Kaz here with Mr.
Randy.
Mr. Randy Hall is in the booth.
Happy Monday to you, Kaz.
And our other big guest today who played Snooki last weekend. I don't know what he was doing. But this is Mr. Tom Wark. Tommy, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. It's good to be here, too. Sorry about last week, but I'm sure I was doing something terribly important.
I think it was probably taking out the trash.
And he comes up with all kinds of good stuff.
Hey, you ready for this? I got to tell you one thing before we even start. I had a gentleman come into the tasting room, and hopefully he's going to call in today, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he listens to our show, like, faithfully.
Really?
And his wife even admitted it. He goes, yeah, he listens to every show. So it's like, if you were that gentleman, please call in 933-9133. Or if you're not even that gentleman, you want to pretend like you're that gentleman, 933-9133.
Yeah, pretending you're that gentleman's a good thing, too.
You can always call in and ask us any wine questions, because today you have a marketing and PR expert, Mr. Tom Wark. You have a blog analyzing
you just got
computer
me.
Freak, Randy Hall, and you had a wine geek. Grape stomp and fool Kaz right here in our little room.
Yeah, it's a little warm in here today, but it's a gorgeous day outside. And wanted to start it off with, why don't we talk about
grapes?
Where you're at? Yeah, because
we have a caller.
Oh, we already have
by
a caller.
Bell.
See, he's
okay.
Done already. Let's see if we can make this happen. Caller. Oh,
chicken shish. Well, that always sounds good, doesn't it? Put hit drop.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
There we go.
There we go. All right. Well, so much for that.
Caller, please call again at 933-9133. Randy's doing the board today.
Yeah, and
a fine job he's not doing.
It starts with a dial tone, and it's all going downhill from here. So, hey, let's talk about the grapes.
We should talk about grapes. We got in some Zinfandel from my neighbors, from my old vineyard that I planted with my own two hands. And we are about 70% done right now, and I'm a little worried because I'm hearing big-time storm
coming in this week.
Tomorrow is one big one, and then we got another one right behind it. Like, and they're saying 3 to 5 inches.
You're kidding.
Oh, my God, you're
kidding.
That's huge.
Well, what are your sugars at that you need to bring in?
There's somewhere out there right at that point where, like, it's like, now we need to, like, a little, like 5 days more.
A more sun, yeah. So you mean that literally that Tuesday is going to be 3 to 5 inches?
Tomorrow night it's supposed to hit with some of vengeance, and then it's supposed to hit again on the weekend.
Yeah, I had heard later in the week it was going to be yet another.
And between both of those, they're saying 3 to 5, possible 3 to 5 inches. So I'm hoping they're really wrong.
And we know
they're wrong a lot, but I hope they're really wrong.
Well, they were wrong about Friday because they were supposed to be rain Friday, and it didn't materialize.
So they're going to be wrong again.
Let's just say, how about we call it right now? They're going to be wrong.
They're going to be wrong.
You do have a rain slicker, right?
I do have, and I might be using it not only in my vineyard. I might be using it on the football field Friday night too. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, and we were just talking in the green room about how lovely I coach El Molino High School football out in Forestville.
And apparently they played Sonoma, didn't they?
We played Sonoma.
How'd they do?
Scott he's still smiling in the back
Scott,
room there.
Scott the intern.
He
had his way with you.
He did. But he was smiling, and I am not. Because they trounced us. I think that the final was 42-13. It was not pretty.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
so
let's move on.
Please, let's. Okay, but anyway, as far as grape goes, we've been having a great year here in Sonoma Valley. The sugar levels are way the heck up there. The acid levels aren't as actually as high as we'd kind of like them, the acid level wise. But the sugar levels are all.
The pH? Are those pretty high as well?
The pH is actually a little lower than we'd normally like it, than I'd like it.
So what are you talking about, 3.4, 3.3?
Well, no, we're talking 3.8.
3.8?
Yeah.
And 3.8 for picking?
Holy I know.
Cow, man.
And 3.6 is usually where we go, but the fruit wasn't ripe. I mean, there was still green seeds, and there was a lot of – but the sugar levels are, you know,
off the chart
this year. They're just way up there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because if you do have to mutate it with a little water,
no. Don't they call those Jesus units?
Yeah, and or rain.
That was the most hilarious.
If it does rain, I might leave my fermenters open. Darn!
I got word. I got word from a winemaker who brought in grapes, and after they soaked up everything, it was something like 32.
Yeah, I know. That's
After the raisins had rehydrated,
which means, and this person was pretty happy too, because that meant that they had to add water to the fermentation, and they got basically, you know, a bunch of wine free.
But the grapes, it's good for the wineries.
When I do the podcast, we're going to beat that
up. Bad for the grape growers, because grape growers are paid by the ton, and if you're picking raisins, they're dry.
Well, of course.
There's no weight in there.
And as a grower, I get kind of bent out of shape about that.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. And it's just there. I mean, that's what's happening this year a little bit, but the maturity and of the fruit, it just hasn't been there until they have been up to the past 24, 25, 26, 27 bricks. That's when we're getting the full ripeness of the grape. So the fruit is just ripening way later in its own little body. But it's earlier as far as the season is concerned. We're a couple weeks early.
You know, 25 years ago, they would have picked those grapes already, and they would have produced a wine that was 12.5% alcohol, and everyone would have been real happy about it. And we would have been able to drink that wine in 25 years because it would have aged, as opposed to falling apart in 5 years.
But he's not really editorializing. He's just staying at how it is.
And that was Tom Work. Just congratulating Kaz on how he makes most of his wines, because we do usually pick earlier. So, and he's good. He just kind of rode into my boat.
Yeah.
He did. And as far as we've got one fun wine that we're doing this year, since I'm a grandpa, and on almost 3 months ago, a little over 3 months ago, I've been an official grandpa, and we're doing a late harvest Chardonnay. And it's going to be called Madeline, which is my granddaughter. So, and I'm sure there's going to be a lovely little picture of her dressed up like Satan on the label.
So have they determined what they're going to call you? Are you going to be Gramps, Grandpa?
Good question. My dad was Papa, and I think Papa K would be – it sounds a little Jamaican. Hey, Papa K. You know, or Hawaiian.
But it sounds okay for a wine.
It could be a wine too, Papa K. Papa K wine.
Always think in terms of the marketing angle. Don't ever just come up with a name just to come up with a name.
But that's right. But so
work,
there.
Work the angle.
But and if anybody else has grapes out there, we always want you to call in to let us know that you have grapes in case there's any other wineries there.
Because you have 24 hours to get them off the vine.
Yeah, if you're really, not just for me, but if any wineries out there are interested in getting some grapes or finding some more grapes, please call into the show at 933-9133. We have hooked up some growers with some of the wineries there in the last few weeks. So I've gotten some emails.
It does work, folks.
It does work.
All right.
So you guys are going to chat for a second because I'm turning on that air conditioner. I can't stand it any longer.
All right, that's cool. So, starting off with, last week we talked about a lot of things, but one of the things we didn't talk about was the book. And the book at the end of the show, I did say that the name of the book was First Big Crush.
And you finished it.
Yeah, I finished it.
There's only 6 pages in it, so it's
amazing. I was only halfway through last week.
What a reader.
I know. Yeah, it's like I read at the third grade level. The book by Eric Arnold, who's an editor for Wine Spectator.
Yeah, Speculator.
Speculator, with that too. It was very good. I mean, and what was interesting is that Tom actually had a review up about the week that I was still in the middle of the book. And,
whoa.
He reads faster than me. In fact, anybody, if you know anybody, reads faster than me. I read like a turtle.
No, I'm the lowest.
Are
lowest?
You?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I read faster than
I never finish books.
I can at least feel that I read faster than Kaz.
You
anyhow,
do.
The book actually was it's fabulous. It was a very, very good book. The observation I made on Tom's blog, which is Fermentation, the Daily Wine blog.
Okay.
It was that, Eric goes between being really vulgar and really lucid. I mean, just amazingly,
in the
same page, there would be, what I would consider graphically obscene references. And then this brilliant observation about the wine industry in New Zealand. And it was just, I was just amazed that you could pack that into one digestible book. Could juxtapose them such to where you're reading down the page and you're like, I can't believe you just wrote that, and wow, that's really interesting. So,
have you found that the same?
It chronicles a year in the life of this guy back in the 2004 harvest in New Zealand. So he went down to New Zealand, basically didn't know anything at all about wine, substantially anything at all about wine. And he went and signed on with a New Zealand winery.
Okay, so he was doing that, and then now he's working for
Speculator. Works for wine.
Okay, because yeah. I was hoping that he wouldn't have not worked there first and not known shish about the industry. Okay, got it.
But he wrote it, though. He wrote it while he wasn't in there.
Right, you could tell. You could tell.
That was one of the more fascinating things, too, is the way to watch the evolution of a reporter.
Right.
And him talking in present day tense, as it were, and then see him transform into the cellar rat in New Zealand, doing as the New Zealanders do.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was two different people, which was good because he was talking from two different perspectives. And it's not your father's wine book. This is not where you're going to find notes on what this wine tastes like, although you'll find some of that.
You find some of that, but not much.
Yeah. But it's really about the experience of working in a foreign place, in a cellar, doing the hard work, topping up, you know, working on the tanks, hanging out with the people who are the cellar rats, and learning how to say nasty things in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, actually, it's divided into three sections. The first section is the harvest. The second is winemaking. And then third is the vineyard. And what's interesting is, it's absolutely the evolution of his involvement. So
that's cool.
It does, at the beginning of the book, it's the beginning of that year that he spends. And at the end of the book, it's him basically wrapping it up.
Yeah.
And so you do see he goes from one extreme to the next. It was he goes through a lot of the current topics in winemaking as well. I mean, there was whole discussions on there's a whole chapter that talks about closures. So I mean,
yeah, and that's an exciting subject.
Well, I know, yeah,
but
the New Zealand puts me to sleep sometimes.
But the New Zealand perspective on closures is entirely different than ours.
Yeah,
I think they're up to at least 50% screw caps.
Yeah.
Yeah, both red and white.
And they made it sound like in New Zealand, domestically, it's all screw caps. They don't even bother.
Whites are 80% screw caps over there. And they were the first ones to adopt them, also. Right. So. Yeah.
So
when are you going to start screw capping? Really?
Never.
Never?
No.
Nah, never say never, my man.
That's true.
Never.
No, being the organic, realistic, you know, European, Italian, you know, kind of farmer kind of guy that I try to be in the winemaking part of it, I just won't do it. I mean, I'm going to hold out until the very last cork is in the very last bottle.
Until the last tree is chopped.
Until he drops. Until he drops.
You know, there's a cork tree over here on the Sonoma Plaza that you can get your hands on.
Yeah, I had my eye on that big sucker because the cork on that thing is about a foot thick. So that would last me at least 6 years, I'm sure.
But also, there's a chapter in here that I was talking with Tom before the show that he describes kind of breaking out the assumptions about wine and food pairings.
Uh-huh.
So what he did as an experiment was he gathered a bunch of New Zealand winemakers, sat them down, and fed them meat pies, which is apparently a really big local food for New Zealanders is meat pies.
Lamb.
Oh no, it was they had kidney and steak.
Oh, it's good stuff.
And then the ringer was the steak and oyster. Apparently, he said that all of the guys looked at him like, when are you leaving?
and he paired the wine up and had them
and he paired taste it. And he paired several different wines. So I mean, no, it was that they tried. It was almost like a permutation. They tried every wine with every meat pie, and then they gave their kind of impressions of and they really came to some interesting kind of findings in that too.
Yeah, so. We do that up at our place every now and then. We'll break out some liver or something and chop it up into small pieces. And
sorry, man, liver.
And that's one of the forbidden
fruits for me.
Tell people it's chocolate. You know, and here, try this.
That's mean.
No, I don't do that.
That's mean.
I am a fan of liver, though.
I had it the other night at Kenwood restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was calf's liver.
It was calf's liver. Oh. Awesome. It was really, really good.
Bacon, onions.
Onions.
Little apple, maybe?
It did not have apple. No,
balsamic vinegar?
Yeah, it had a little balsamic vinegar. Yeah.
You guys, man. It's like you're sitting there going,
Tiny bit of pink, right?
Yeah. Just a little tiny bit of pink, thinly cut, too.
Very nice. Okay, now I don't need to eat lunch today.
Sorry.
So anyhow, the book is First Big Crush by Eric Arnold. Actually, I ended up picking up this one just down the road at our own Reader's Books.
But you can get it on
Amazon.
You can
get it on any of those sites
How much is it retail for, or what is it?
I think I paid $24.
All right, so you can probably get
$24. You can probably get it
18 ish, whatever, 15 to
whatever the going rate is.
But support your local bookstore.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. That's how I felt when I went.
And if you can't find it there, if they really can't find it for you, if you want to wait a little longer. But anyway, that Amazon.com thing kind of works.
This coming from the Luddite who doesn't get on a computer.
No, no, exactly. This coming from the guy who lives in Bolinas. This is the problem.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Exactly. Hey, we should also talk about events this weekend. We have somebody hopefully going to be calling
in. Yeah, we're expecting a call in. I called her and left her a friendly voicemail saying, hey, why don't you give us a call?
So Josie Gay, that would be of the Sonoma Valley.
The Heart of Sonoma Valley.
Heart of Sonoma Valley. Yep. Winery associations of our little local Kenwood and the beautiful town of Glen Ellyn. And there's an event coming up this weekend, so she's going to chat us about that.
Yeah, she's supposed to be calling in after the first break. So,
and we also always want to pitch our other two wine shows here at KSVY, and you should.
Kids. And which ones would those be?
Well, the first one would be on Wednesdays from 4 to 5 o'clock. That would be Radio Wine Club with the most talented Johnny Burdick. Johnny is does his show. He's a crazy guy. He'll talk to a winemaker or the owner of a specific winery, either mainly in the Sonoma side, but he does visit that other valley. And he grabs one of those people onto his show, and they taste the wine, chat about their winery and stuff. And it's
so that
it's
other
a good
valley
time.
Would be the Russian River Valley, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, because we won't mention that four-letter word
the
here on this show.
Word. Oh, we do all the time. Anyhow.
That's just because you worked there.
And the other one?
The other show is Mr. Grant Raysides, and he has heard it through the grapevine on Thursday from 4 to 5 o'clock here on 91.3, your FM dial. So there. They're
there
good shows.
Go.
Good shows.
Yeah.
And Grant is the Sonoma Valley Vintners and Grape Growers Association Presidente.
El Presidente.
He's doing a great job. He's really promoting and doing a lot more to open up the valley to
I'm seriously considering of going to them and saying, we need to podcast your stuff too. Because, I mean, you guys, it's like getting this thing on iTunes has apparently taken.
You're right.
So all you guys that are listening to this on iTunes, thank you so much. You guys rock. So.
And if you do call in and you are doing the that iTunes thing, we might be able to give you some free tickets to something. So
why don't Who knows?
Because we're not supposed to give anything away, so we'll just say that we're going to give you something, and we really won't. But anyway, 933-9133. Call us if whatever.
All right. So in a couple minutes, we're going to take a break. But first, why don't we ask Tom? You know, Tom, I noticed this morning you had a post about running with scissors versus
running with scissors putting needles deep in your eye.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. So
now, what does that have to do with wine?
Well, there's an editorial in the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, okay.
By Richard Roper, who basically took to task those folks who were saying you should never, ever, 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 ever allow a minor to have even a sip of wine because it's going to turn them into alcoholic monsters. And you just don't hear somebody say –
he's so stupid?
You just don't hear very many people in the media say it's okay to give your kids just a sip of this or a sip of that to introduce them to alcohol. And he did, and I was very proud of that he had done that.
Cool.
So I thought I'd highlight it on my blog. And
that's very cool.
And then the opposing viewpoint was pretty funny too. What was it, what was the person's name? I can't remember.
The funniest thing about the opposing view was the name of the person, Calvina, which made me think of John Calvin immediately, and it all came into focus.
Ah, that is true. I hadn't even thought of that from that perspective. It's definitely the Calvinist beginnings of this country.
Yeah. Anyway, I think she was suggesting that if you were to give a sip of wine to somebody who was, say, 14 to introduce them to the beverage and how to drink it, you would probably be turning them – you'd be having them engage in dangerous actions. Dangerous actions.
By making wine this kind of crazy – this kind of untouchable thing for kids – that's exactly the problem.
It turns them into
well, hey, if I'm not supposed to drink it, well, guess what? The first thing I'm going to reach for.
Yeah. We introduced our kids to it at a very young age, tasting grapes that were fermenting, and just had it as an experience of like cooking or something
right.
like that. Not even worrying or concentrating on the alcoholic end of it. I mean, that's not why you're doing wine. It might be vodka, but it's not wine. You know, wine is very low percentage as opposed to that higher beverage stuff. But anyway.
All right. Well.
To each their own. Let's do a little break.
Yeah, we're going to do our break right now. And when we get back, we will talk more with our good friend Tom. And we'll be right back with these messages. Bo. And we're back with Wine Biz on KSVY 91.3 FM, KSVY.org, and
KSVY.org on your computer.
WineBizRadio.com for your
that's
podcasting pleasure.
That's a better one.
Yeah, wine, we like that one. That was
Wine Biz.
That's really taken off. I mean, that podcast.
Are you getting a lot?
Oh,
of
yeah, we're getting hits. I mean, granted, we're still talking double digits, but I mean, hey, anything. You're watching from week to week. It grows. It's like watching the chia pet. You know, it's like.
Okay, so just when you started your blog, Mr. Tommy Work, when you started blogging, and then did you monitor how many hits you were having to your blog?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. In the beginning,
like a hawk, man.
Okay, so in the beginning, you were getting. I mean, actual guys that you could always tell somebody that was responding to you, but the ones that weren't responding but just reading. Okay, so you get that information, right?
Absolutely. And not only can I tell that, but I can tell what part of the country they're in. I can tell how long they were on my site. I can tell what pages they were reading.
Oh, that's cool.
All that sort of stuff. But when I started, you know, I was excited because there were 10 folks who read what I had to say.
Exactly.
And then it grows and grows and grows and grows.
And that's about where we're at. It's like, you know.
And we're at 10?
No, we're a little bit of beyond 10, but not much.
I said double digits. I know.
Yeah. So you need 11. To get some nice write-ups by some bloggers.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, what's been nice is actually from both linking to when we do a show, if we mention a blog, I link to that blog entry.
That's
there's a whole thing about when you link back, what'll end up happening is that blog will essentially list it on the page that you link to them, and so people can go, oh, I wonder, you know, if they're reading through the article and they're reading the comments, they'll see this. And they might go, oh, click on that. Oh, you know, somebody had something to say about this, and then and then they end up with on our site, and they can click. And
see, I'm really looking forward to the non-football time of my life that I can get on.
You can get
the
kind of busy with this, huh?
And find out really what blogging is about. I have
so when is
absolutely
football
no time in 5 weeks. We're halfway
five
done.
5 long weeks. So five about the time weeks. That harvest will basically be wrapped up.
Yeah, exactly. And they usually do happen pretty simultaneously on that same week.
And you love football so much that you'll still do it.
Got to do it. Got to do
right,
it. It's in my bud. In my blood.
In your bud.
It's in my bud too. I don't do
it. We don't
any
talk
of that.
About that sort of thing. So we're waiting on Josie Gay to from the.
She'll forget.
I hope not. Yep. I like I said, I gave her. She left a message saying she was thrilled about it, but that she was picking grapes.
Yeah.
In case she doesn't actually call in, what exact event is she going to tell us
about? It's the spotlight on Zinfandel coming up this weekend.
Yep.
It's Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, I'm involved.
And yeah, of course, the Kaz Winery. We did run through the flyer last week on it. But
yeah, I should have brought it in here.
Was it 13 wineries or something like that?
I believe
Lucky
so.
Lucky number 13.
And it's from 10:30 to 4:30 on Saturday and Sunday. You can come to the wineries and they'll be spotlighting Zinfandel wines. And that's all the wineries. Well, not all the wineries. 13 of the wineries are in this event. So for $20, you get into all 13 wineries for 2 days.
Plus, I bet they're going to give me food too.
There's going to be a little bit of tidbits of food. Well, yeah, I'm going to be doing some. I think I'm doing wings. I haven't totally decided, but I think I'm going for wings for this weekend. And
I love wings,
dude. Yeah. I got great
liver.
No. How about you don't do liver?
How about liver wings? I'll cut them in the shape of wings.
We would love to come visit you, but not if you're serving liver.
How about if I do it with oysters?
No.
How about mushrooms?
No, you got mushrooms. You sold me on wings, man.
Okay, wings.
Yeah,
all right,
wings.
Wings.
In fact, you just listed three things that I don't like to eat: liver, oysters, and mushrooms.
Oh, jeez.
If you had said grape,
what
if
a
you
boring
said,
guy.
If you had said eggplant after that, I would have been like, okay, I can't be your friend anymore.
So the liver, oyster, mushroom casserole is out.
Yeah, the ratatouille made with liver, oysters, mushrooms, and eggplant. Is
well, I know what to have when you come over. Those are all the best things of life right
if
there.
If you say so. Yeah. So anyway,
it's this weekend, 10:30 to 4:30, and you just get to cruise around between these different wineries, and we will be, like, at our place, we have three different Zinfandels, and there are blends of Zin that you can try.
You guys have a crazy number of Zins.
Yeah, actually. We do. Yeah. And then we'll also be doing a little barrel tasting that's not even on the event ticket, you know, who will be doing what, but we're going to crack open a barrel and let people taste from the barrel. And if you come by... anybody listening to the show, to the event, and you come by our winery, tasting is free for anybody that comes in that even mentions KSVY most weekends at our place, just to show my
and what if they mention
gratitude.
I heard it on the podcast. What are you going
to
give them?
Man, I think they should. We're probably a ticket to the moon.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
all right. So
you could and drinking Kaz wine all the way to the moon, or you could just moon out in Kaz's vineyard.
Well, there is always that, but. Is that where you have the webcams up?
Yes, webcams. Yeah. We have them all over the vineyard.
So here's an interesting story. It's Tom, do you read the Ship Compliant blog?
Sure.
Yeah. This morning talked about I know, we're tied in. Says wrong but not surprising, a loss in extending Granholm to shipments by retailers.
Yes.
I'm sure you have an interest in this one.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was just called for comment on that story.
Why don't you just comment to our listeners out there, the one that we do have?
Yeah. Well, there was a lawsuit in New York in which the some retailers and some consumers were suing the state of New York because in New York, a New York wine shop can ship wine to a New Yorker, but out-of-state wine shops may not. And we got a ruling in that case, and the judge said that, in fact – there goes
some of Sonoma's finest.
Yeah.
The judge said that it was constitutional to discriminate against out-of-state retailers. What was really interesting about that decision was that in support of that decision, he quoted the Granholm Supreme Court decision, but he didn't actually quote the decision. He quoted the dissent in the decision, which is generally a no-no for so it was a terrible, terrible decision, and so we're not too worried about it. We have another lawsuit along the same lines happening in Texas where we're fighting for the rights of out-of-state retailers to be able to ship, and we expect a positive decision. We just had our final oral arguments down in that Texas case, and Ken Starr did those for us.
The Ken Starr.
But he also argued Granholm, so that's why. That's part
that's
of the
correct.
Reason why.
He did.
Whoa. Yeah, and he's Texan. Because we actually had this discussion last time Tom was in here. We went deep on the Granholm case.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. And it was about Illinois, actually.
Yeah.
And actually, Illinois, the governor actually signed that into law. Their bill got signed into law.
Cool. That means that Illinoisans may no longer buy wine from out-of-state retailers.
Right.
So kind of a bummer.
A little.
Yeah.
it's a little bit of a downer. Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on.
So
let's go to some fun stuff.
Well, here's a fun one. Dr. Vino actually posted this morning.
Dr. Vino. That's one of my favorites that I do visit every so often.
Every so often. Well, yep. They had a contest about kids at wineries. Now, this whole row about, you know, should kids be allowed in winery tasting rooms.
Right, right.
Sparked a little bit of a hot debate. Well, not really a debate. Most people were bashing the idea of why would you keep kids out of a winery or a tasting room.
Right.
So Dr. Vino had a photo contest of, you know, kids in tasting rooms or kids in wineries, stuff like that. And the winner was our own dear friend, Josh Hermsmeyer, a Pinot blogger.
Wow.
His son Jackson was the winning mugshot of his little kid sitting on a barrel. Actually, all you can see on the page is Jackson's little doll sort of on a barrel. Yeah, but he is
beautiful background.
Yeah, and it's very nice. It was very tasteful. So.
Yeah, I have a problem with the wine industry in general because the ABC doesn't like children to be close to a bar because they're afraid of, you know, them probably inhaling alcoholic fumes or something. But
it's not just that, actually. They have studies that show that if you get within 5 feet, if you're under 21, and if you get within 5 feet of a bar, and if you stay there for more than, I think it's 10 minutes, you'll actually instantaneously turn into an alcoholic.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, hey, we got a call, so let's go ahead and
that's
try this.
The ABC
shut
me down.
All right, hang on. Caller, you're on the air with Kaz and Randy.
Hi, Kaz and Randy. It's Josie.
Josie. Oh,
is this the Josie Gay?
Are you?
Well, hi. Hey, welcome. And we actually talked very briefly about the Spotlight on Zin, but why don't you go ahead and give us your spiel here?
All right. Fantastic. Well, we have our fourth annual Spotlight on Zinfandel happening this weekend. Basically, 11 wineries will be featuring their Zinfandels. And this is meant to be a great event for people that love specific wines, and so this time we're spotlighting Zinfandel. It's actually a wonderful time to come out to the event because there are so many experiences happening right now at the wineries, on the crush pad, in the barrel.
Yeah,
room.
Usually I would think that most of the winery staff are like running around with their heads cut off because it's the middle of harvest.
Yeah, they definitely are, and everyone that comes is going to get a first-hand experience of what it's like at crush at several of the facilities, several of the wineries.
Yeah, over at our place, we're going to be letting people punch down the cap and
hey, man, put them to work.
Yeah,
so you paid $20. Get busy.
Get busy. Yeah. Exactly. Now, could you tell us the wineries in the beautiful town of Kenwood and Glen Ellen that are in this event?
Yeah. I'll just do them in alphabetical order. Blackstone Winery, Eric Ross Winery, Imagery Estate, Taz Vineyard and Winery, Cundy Estate Winery and Vineyard, Loxton Cellars, Mayo Family Winery, St. Francis Winery and Vineyards, The Wine Room, VJB Vineyards and Cellars, and Wellington Vineyards.
There you go.
Got a good cross-section of
I bet you could do an actual, just perfect circle and
all
get all
those.
All kinds
of fun stuff happening. Yeah. People are going to be tasting juice, fresh-pressed juice. Chris Loxton's going to be on the crush pad.
Really?
He's all sorts of things.
He's usually crushed on his pad.
Yeah, he is.
So what? And then we have. I want you to give our listeners who are always have their number two pencils ready to write down all the information that they get from our show. But why don't you give them a brief little thing about our big barrel tasting coming up in March? Because this year it's going to be one of the best.
Yes. Oh gosh, barrel tasting is going to be absolutely fantastic this year. We have 20 wineries participating this year. And we have, tagged this event. Yes, we're doing all kinds of barrel tasting, but we are also featuring chefs, local restaurants, local caterers at all of the different wineries. So it's really going to be a fantastic food and wine experience. It is happening March 15th and 16th, and it's $55 per person for the weekend. And we do limit attendance, so... It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of people, but it doesn't get so crazy that you don't get the kind of time you're looking for with the vintners and at the tasting rooms with the chefs, et cetera. So, a ton of fun. Lots happening that weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing weekend, and the weather will definitely be perfect, as usual.
Of course. We do offer a Sunday-only pass, too, which is kind of nice.
And for people that want to get tickets, they can get them online through...
heartofsonomavalley.com.
Or call you.
Or they can call me toll-free. 866-794-9463.
That's perfect.
Cool. Hey, Josie, I wanted to ask, now, the Heart of Sonoma Valley, actually, these events do benefit local charities, right?
The barrel tasting, we actually do, the ticket proceeds, no, but we do offer... our posters, which are turning out to be a big hit, we're in our fourth year now of selling winemaker-signed posters for our the barrel tasting event. And all of the proceeds from those posters go to Kenwood Education Foundation.
Excellent.
Yeah, which is a great local school here in Kenwood.
Definitely. Yeah. Kenwood School.
Kenwood School.
Good stuff.
Kenwood School.
My granddaughter will go there someday.
Yay! We also have, just so you know, tickets this weekend are available at all of the wineries. So if you didn't buy one in advance, don't worry. You can get them at the door. It's only $20 per person for both days.
Yeah, it's a heck of a deal on this one.
As I told Kaz, we did that one last year, and we had the best time.
Oh yeah,
it was just amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Even though it's supposed to maybe rain on Saturday, it's still going to be a fun.
Wear your slickers, bring an umbrella, and go sip some wine.
Oh, it's so much fun. We're going to have a great time. Yeah, please do join us.
Yes, come zin in the valley.
Yes.
So
please do, and you can if you want. People can visit our website and read about what all of the wineries are doing.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, I think. Give that out one more time, and then we'll let you go because I know you're busy.
All right. If they just visit www.heartofsonomavalley.com, click on the Spotlight on Zinfandel image right there on the homepage. That'll take you to all of the winery information.
Coolness. Now we're going to slip you into one of your other hats that you wear. You guys were picking grapes this morning, I hear.
Yes.
So what type of grapes did you guys have come in today?
We had Cabernet come in this morning, Cabernet Sauvignon.
I had a hunch. And where's the fruit come from?
I am up here at about 1,800 feet at a Delta Estate Winery on Cavedale Road.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, it was fun. I was out there picking the grapes with everybody. We had a great time.
That's good. And I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
See you at Wednesday's meeting.
All right. We'll see you there.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, so there you go. She's great. She actually is full of energy, and she does a great job for our local wineries, promoting them and trying to keep all of us in line at all the wineries in the Kenwood and Glen Ellen area. It's a big task.
And she owns a vineyard too?
She's actually part of she's been hired on by Adelsa to help them out, mainly in their tasting room and stuff. Oh, so okay. She's just gotten involved more with the crush and what's going on. And her boyfriend actually has his own little winery and label over in the Napa area. That's why I was wondering
I'll have to bleep that.
I know. Well, you can bleep it on the podcast. that he has a small little winery starting up over there. Not a winery per se.
He's a private label.
He's having it made somewhere. But
so Custom Crush.
Custom Crush, yeah, under his own jurisdiction and
beautiful.
And what's going on? So nice. He's a cool guy. Very cool guy. He's actually a filmmaker down in Lala.
Wow.
And he comes up.
So he's got a connection, huh?
He does. He's got that Francis Ford Coppola connection.
There you go.
You never know. So, why don't we take another little break?
Yeah, we'll take our second break now. And
but who gives a hoot?
Exactly.
And then we'll come back and chat more with Tommy Warwick and Mr. Blogger Randy Hall and myself, the Cheesy Winemaker Cash. So listen to this, and we'll be right back.
And we're back with Wine Biz.
Weird back. So we're here today speaking about grapes and wine and all the beautiful things that our valley here of the Valley of the Moon has to offer in the beautiful town of Sonoma on a beautiful day. And this is your guest host, Mr. Rul Rashmon.
I was just about to say, it's like you're trying to put all of our listeners to sleep.
Here's
another
the fire engine. Actually,
man, what is it?
He drives around.
Around the block.
Same truck.
So
it sounds worse in here than it does on the air.
Believe
you really can't hear it.
No, you can. I've listened.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
So Tom Warwick is here with us today. He was supposed to be here last week, and he got reprimanded, so we gaffed his car in here today as he was driving by.
Yeah, we put the Denver boot on. He's not leaving until the show's over.
Yep, exactly. So
happy to be here.
He's here, and we're going to talk a little bit. I would like to talk about a little bit of marketing things now about what you think should be the ploy of the wineries in this. I mean, a lot of the wineries now have gone through the ebb and flow of trying to get people into their tasting rooms and the PR niche thing that you have of contacting different people to write about the different winery stuff. Is there something big that's right now that you think is important for wineries to do to, get interest in that winery? Or is it basically the same old as far as certain things to do? Or are you pushing blogs? Are you pushing, that type of thing?
So. Well, as a publicist, I'm contacting more and more bloggers and setting them up with our clients to sit down and talk, and inform the bloggers the same way we do with the wine media.
Right.
And I think almost any winery that's going to reach out to the media and use public relations has to take into account the readership of bloggers these days because it's mounting.
It's mounting, yeah.
In a significant way. Beyond that, it's a lot of block and tackle.
Right.
The one thing that all wineries can do that most of them do not do set aside the press release. And
that's
pick
me.
Up the phone and actually.
That's definitely cast.
Yeah, set aside the press release. Don't do that, but pick up the phone and call a writer and talk to him face to face. And if you've got a good idea for a story, if you've got a piece of information you think that they need to have, if they wrote a good story that you wanted to comment on, do it in person or at least over the phone because.
Very good.
There's nothing better than actually FaceTime or VoiceTime with the media.
Right.
Press releases are a dime a dozen, and unless they're really fantastic. It's difficult
and
to
trust
get
me. I've been tied into the news releases for wine, and they're not fantastic.
No, I mean,
they're really not fantastic.
It was funny about 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago. I did a survey of America's wine writers and asked them, what kind of press releases do you get and how useful are they? And the vast majority of releases they got were announcing our new Cabernet Sauvignon. Okay, well, that's not going to work. And then. When we asked the writers, rank the usefulness of the press release, and I think something like 65% said utterly useless.
Huh.
It's a real talent actually to write a good press release with a good hook that'll get people's attention. That's why they hire people like me.
Right.
But beyond that, there's other ways to get the attention of the media. And when you do get the attention of the media, it can often result in sales. So there's that.
But
I don't know, maybe this applies to you. I got a call from a writer today who's doing a story on the use of the term reserve. And it's his contention that fewer and fewer wineries are using the term reserve on their bottlings for a couple different reasons. First, because the way people used to use the term reserve is now they're using vineyard designates for that purpose. And he assumes also that it's not being used as much because wine lovers have determined that the term means nothing.
Exactly. And you know why?
They're wise to the
scheme. A little of it came from actually the gallows and the big giants just putting it on there to get the extra buck.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's like the guy shouting fire in a crowded theater.
And I don't think you know this, but on my bottles, I go one step further.
Grand Humongous Reserve?
Closely. Yes, I have a reserved reserve.
You're just mocking the term.
Exactly. We have a, one barrel reserve, ultra reserve.
I have noticed these on your labels.
Climactic
hilarious.
Reserve.
Amazing.
And I'll just keep putting different words on there of... You know, that just doesn't mean anything because it doesn't mean anything
anymore.
No,
it's like the term old vine. What the heck is an old vine?
Yeah, well, in theory, the old vines were anything from 50 to 100 years, and ancient vines was over 100 years. I mean, that really meant something, and now old vine could be 20 years old.
And reserve actually used to mean something to some people.
Absolutely.
It used to be the best wine in your portfolio.
Absolutely. It was selected barrels or barrel select. It used to mean selected barrel. If you had a barrel select reserve, that was like the absolute creme de la creme of anything that was ever produced.
That's right.
That was in with the reserve barrels, but it was only a selected barrel or barrels.
As opposed to putting out a wine that was vintner's reserve.
Exactly. Which means they're all vintner's reserve because they're all made by a vintner.
Yeah.
And they're all reserved.
Well, I think people are – at least this writer's perspective is he thinks that winemakers are becoming aware of
that's
that
good.
Problem.
Well, I try and make them aware of that when they come in, when they see all that weird stuff, you know, they'll say that. Well, what does ultra reserve mean?
It means nothing.
It's only two barrels made of this wine, but it's, you know, so it's ultra reserve as opposed to a normal reserve,
right,
which could be three or four barrels.
And there's
5,000 million barrels.
There are, in fact, many different definitions for reserve this way. One of the clients that I have, they do use the term reserve.
Uh-huh.
But so, for example, when they make a Zinfandel reserve, what that means to them is that the wine is only made from free-run juice.
Oh, that's
nice. It sits in barrel a little bit longer, and it comes from a particular part of their vineyard.
See, that's cool. Yeah, and if you use it in the real true way, I applaud any winery that does that.
You almost have to put it on the back label, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
what it really means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, seriously, if you're using free-run juice, that's like – primo.
Yeah.
Now, what was the gentleman's name? And I forget. I apologize. Who was in here who is just starting his winery. And he has a blog site.
That's Joel. That's Josh Hermsbein. Pinot Blogger.
Pinot Blogger. And I apologize, Josh. But he has a cool thing going because he's asked the people to talk to him about what they think is the best thing to have in their tasting room. Or how would they design a tasting room? You know, what do they like? How many, you know, whatever. And he's got all kinds of ideas that they
engage your audience. I mean,
it's great. And he's starting to, you know, pre-sell his stuff, and he hasn't even made it.
Well,
yet.
No. If you listened last week, it was that Josh had actually posted on his blog that he had licensing problems.
Right.
And
so
he's basically giving away this year's the vintage
right.
coming up.
So he's using this as
a
promo.
And he did. He did. He emailed me. He said, "You'll get some."
So, good. Oh, that's awesome.
This is his Russian River Valley Pinot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
got to get in on that.
Interesting, interesting thing, and an interesting way again to. I mean, that's a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here talk to the public and say, you know, what do you like in a tasting room? What do you think it should look like? What makes you feel good and warm and fuzzy and all that stuff? And getting feedback from people out there that. That's what they like. I mean, you still want to do your own thing, and you have
right.
to fit the area.
Well, and
but
of course,
it's interesting
actually,
to go ahead and just do it.
He claims that in an email he sent to me, he said he didn't do it. He's not doing it so that he gets a lot of feedback about
exactly.
how it is. But it's mostly just like, here's what Pinot tastes like before it's been put in oak. And here it is after it's been put in, and here's the final bottle. I mean, that's literally the three stages that he's doing.
So, educational.
Very educational.
Promo.
And if you want a way to cement your clientele.
Right.
That's, I mean, treat them like they're special.
Yeah.
Dang, that's not that tough.
I know. I got to get better at that.
Poor kids. I know.
I did something similar to that once on my blog where we were doing a photo shoot for one of our clients for an advertisement. And we had all these different shots. that we were going to use as the background for the ad. And we basically put it out there to the readers of the blog and said, well, which one do you think works best? And it was interesting because we ended up not using the one that was voted what works best because they were wrong. But damn, it was a fun experience, so I must say.
Audience is clearly clueless, but, you know.
Other than that, they're loved by all.
Absolutely.
No, that's fun. So is there anything else in you know, in the blog world, are there any new blog sites that you can think of that are kind of fun?
I don't know if I mentioned
important?
This one before, but it's Chateau Petrogasm.
No, you have not.
Actually, I've been looking at we had been possibly talking about it. They're very interesting. Well, yeah,
I don't remember that name.
No, it's very distinctive. But
yeah,
what they do is they do wine reviews, but they just use a picture, no words, to describe the wine.
So it'll be the 2005.
The same picture on different wines?
No. One picture that represents what this wine means to the reviewer. And I have never seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
And it's very cerebral, you know, to actually think about it in those terms. And it's brilliant. I mean,
they take the idea of a picture is worth a thousand words completely seriously.
Wow.
And it actually works in a lot of ways. There's some that you look at and you're just like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
And then there's others that I've looked at and I'm like, I don't get it. But that's, you know, hey, that's how reviews work.
It's the most brilliant thing I've seen all year.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And that almost beats my I was going to have wine tasting online. And I was just going to have a spot on the page, and it said, "Lick here to taste the wine."
So lick your screen.
Yeah, lick your screen. You know, I still think I'm going to do that.
Does that work?
Sure.
I can't imagine it works that well.
Well, when we put the site up, we'll put a little bit of Zin in that one little area, you know, rub it in there. And then
on
we'll,
your screen.
On a,
and
yeah,
so then, and then you just lick there, and you'll taste
there.
The Zin.
Yeah, exactly.
It tastes like plastic.
Well,
that's what Zin tastes like.
All of them are pretty dry.
Okay.
But anyway, no, I don't taste any residual
but
sugar.
Seriously,
at all.
Folks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we're having fun. We're going to do something like that down there. Okay, so do you have any blog sites that you've hit, Mr. Randy Hall?
I was just going to look at a couple of things. There was we could talk a little bit about the Good Grape actually had a post on the 4th. Says the answer to all mysteries are discovered with wine. Did you read this one, Tom?
I didn't.
Oh, this
that
one was pretty
good.
Funny. It's he was at a party and talked with the hostess, and he said it was an empty bottle. He had an empty bottle of wine. He goes to the hostess. He says, "Hey, do you guys recycle?" And then she said, "No, we don't." And he was like, "Well, why don't you recycle?" And she's like, "What you should be more concerned about is people not using concrete, because concrete it actually takes more energy to recycle glass than it is to just make glass from scratch or from new glass."
Oh.
And so she said that if you really want to get at what wastes energy, concrete.
Yeah.
That what it takes to make concrete or to like manufacture it
right.
is a huge carbon emission thing.
What are we going to use instead of concrete?
I have no idea. How about plastic?
Well, it tastes good according to Kaz.
Yeah, well, according to Kaz, it tastes a lot like Zinfandel.
Wait, concrete? No. Concrete tastes like lime.
Yeah, well, if you've eaten concrete, you're a braver man than me. So that was one of those interesting ones of like, well, who would have thought? So he said the whole point of it is that it's like if you know, the sorts of things you find out with wine as what he calls a social lubricant. It's like,
that's good too. Ooh, I like that terminology.
It's like
he use that?
Yes, he actually used it. I think he might have even trademarked it.
Did he?
Social lubricant?
I don't know.
Doggone. So, I like that.
That's wine what it says. Yeah, the things I learn when wine is the social lubricant.
It's that's good. I like that.
Recycling is good, but scorning concrete is apparently better. That's his final words. All right. Then there was actually, speaking of marketing, Josh on his Pinot Blogger had a post about also last Thursday on the 4th talking about wine packaging is sad.
Is sad?
Is sad. Basically, for all of the he thinks that there's an opportunity lost in the fact that when you're shipping direct to consumers, you're shipping it in a brown box.
Ah, I see.
There's no – I mean, and I actually commented on there. I said, well, you know, there's some people that got it that have a clue. Like, for instance, Sea Smoke. It's like, okay, you get a box with a label. It's the logo's on the box, and he said the way he described it is, yeah, you get an unsigned card and you get a logo on the box. Okay, great. Now, but he's actually revealing it, but he's taking advantage of something.
I'll tell you why they don't. Okay, here's why you don't as a winery. If you're shipping to a state that you're not supposed to ship to, you know, just by mistake or whatever, and it says, you know, Funkelberry wine on there or whatever. It's going to throw up the red flag instantaneously, so you got to be more discreet about.
But on the inside,
you can go because you should be able to go crazy.
So maybe it's wrapped in a plain brown wrapper, but once you open it up, it's like it's got, you know, bells and whistles and dancing girls and everything on it.
Well, stuff usually what's inside out of the box. What's inside a box usually though is styrofoam.
The styrofoam containers, and then but I think part of the
styrofoam.
Point of it is
I use
just
compressed.
Well, okay.
I'm all over.
Yeah,
down.
See, there you go. We're going down that road, but. I thought it was an interesting post because of the fact that it talks about an opportunity lost in terms of wineries treating direct to consumers, especially it's like you're supposedly paying top dollar for this brown box that has styrofoam in it.
Yeah.
I mean
Well, it wouldn't be the first time wineries lost opportunities when it came to direct shipping.
Yeah.
But they're getting better, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah, so that was another interesting one.
If anybody, again, wants to call in 933-9133 and join our little chat,
933-9133. Just pick up the phone and dial now.
I don't know. Our operators are waiting by.
Yeah, the operator's named Randy.
Randy, standing by.
Here's another interesting one. This was Vinography, which I know you've read.
Yeah.
This was posted this weekend. It was called WWJD, What Would Jesus Drink?
What would he drink?
Well.
Cab? Chardonnay?
No.
No?
But apparently there is a Cab Sauvignon from Israel that has a picture of Jesus on the bottle.
No, we've actually reviewed this.
From Israel?
It says it's from Israel.
With a picture of Jesus?
It's supposedly. Or is it – it's an Israeli that made it. Let's see this.
You know, just remember, Jesus
Israeli
was
Israeli wine producer.
He wasn't – you know, he wasn't to Israelis. It's okay. They can mock.
But yeah, he was saying, with the exception of Blue Nun, this really, and maybe some of the custom bottles that the Vatican has in his private collection, Christianity hasn't really figured out how to do a wine brand.
Yeah, well, I think one of the, okay, we did a beer segment, and it was the King of the Brews.
Oh.
And it was a picture of Christ.
Okay. Okay, I get it.
King
of the Brews.
Uh huh.
That's pretty funny.
That
was just the observation of, like, you know, putting graven images on a bottle of wine.
Well, you know, there's controversy as to whether or not Jesus endorsed wine or not. I mean, there's this contingent of the faithful that believe that no one should be even touching alcohol, and of course, there's this other more, I don't know, thoughtful segment of the faithful who believe that actually, you know, that thing about turning water into wine,
right.
It means something.
Right.
Sure. Well, think about it. It's like it was the old thing about there was a discussion from months back about, you know, drink water and water will kill you. But if you drink wine, wine is healthy because it's like what would you do back in the old days? It's like the water was, you know, had all kinds of nasties in it. And
right.
if you made wine out of it, that kills them off because of the alcohol. Well, it's like wine's good for you.
The only reason the Normans were able to conquer England was because they had wine. If they hadn't had wine with them to drink,
they'd have died.
That's right. There would have been nothing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was literally the wine that allowed them to survive over there.
So you heard it here, folks, that if you have dysentery, you want to
drink as much wine as you can.
And there's a study that
and
shows.
And your kids, too.
There's a study that shows, actually, that you'll be much less inclined to get dysentery if you drink Kaz's wine.
Yeah.
And it's been shown to be true.
It's because it's organic.
We'll have to find the study and bring that one up to the next show.
I think it was done by Oxford University in London.
Really?
Outside of London, yeah.
It's outside of London. Well, that's convincing.
It's outside of London.
A little outside the school of Oxford.
You know, it's great how little details really make something convincing, isn't it? All you have to do is throw a little detail in there.
It is. And it's totally true.
Completely.
I'm out.
I think I got nothing left.
Tom has not heard. I don't think you have. There's a show behind us now, and it's they go into deep organic grape growing, but just organic fruits and vegetables and stuff. And you should definitely listen to this on your way home.
In fact, as it turns with regard to organic, we can end it right here, I guess, with this.
Yeah.
I've recently come to the conclusion that wine is not the thing which best.
Denotes organicism.
That best exemplifies a place or a terroir.
Oh, okay.
It's cheese.
That's
and
probably
I've decided true. That cheese is the thing that represents culture and regions and terroir and climate better than anything else. And I've made my mission to discover all the different terroirs.
Well, cheeses.
Jesus, I've loved them for a while, but it's not wine for me anymore. It's all about cheese.
All right. Well, we'll close on that today. So anyhow, you've been listening to Wine Biz on KSVY 91.3 FM.
With the three weirdos.
with the three amigos. You get this later this week on winebizradio.com. And as always, bottoms up.
Bottoms up, kids.